FM, Stony Brook Union, SUNY, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. That's Program Guide, WUSB-FM, Stony Brook Union, SUNY, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. This is Long Island's first station of the 90s at 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate December 3rd. On today's date, in the year 1973, a great triumph for the U.S. space program, the encounter of the planet Jupiter by a spacecraft. Pioneer 10 came only 81,000 miles from the cloud tops of that planet. Pioneer 10 and its sister craft Pioneer 11 are true pioneers in space history. While several dozen spacecraft were sent to explore the inner solar system, the neighborhood of the terrestrial planets Earth, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, no other spacecraft has ever gone to the outer solar system. To get there, they had to go through the asteroid belt, a wide ring of dust, gravel, and boulders in orbit around the sun. Space scientists believed a craft could safely travel through the asteroid belt, but all doubt disappeared with the safe passage of the pioneers. The pioneers encountered Jupiter in 1973 and 74. They were forerunners of another pair of more sophisticated spacecraft, the Voyagers 1 and 2. The pioneers weren't equipped with the same elaborate instruments for imaging or picture-taking as the Voyagers. They didn't show us the spectacular photos that the Voyagers later did, but they did send back an immense volume of data on Jupiter and its moons. Pioneer 10 is now on its way out of the solar system. It'll be the first earthly craft to reach the unsampled open spaces of the galaxy at large. Our program is Stardate, and we want to send you a copy of our new Stardate magazine. If you want to receive one, send your name, address, and $1 to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, Austin, Texas. Our zip is 78712, and we also ask that you let us know where you listen to Stardate. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Dies ist viel besser.
did you say? 9.
Just hold on a second.
Now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
Shut up. Sorry about that. Good evening. It's another Saturday night, isn't it? And Brain Damage is back up until 12 o'clock midnight with your host Eric Corley and co-host Jim Wiener, who was around the station someplace putting away all the classical records that he was playing for the last 3 hours or so. And good evening to you all. We have so many things to talk about, to go over this week. It's been a busy week, crazy week, both locally, internationally, and in my mind, all kinds of bizarre things have been going on. But first and foremost, as we usually do on this program, we take a good, long, hard look at the news, what's going on in the world, and try to figure out if it all makes sense. Argentine President Raul Alfonsín, oh, that's right, Raul Alfonsín, how could I forget, went on television tonight to announce that he's ordered the army to crush a 3-day-old revolt by rebel troops. The mutinous soldiers, doesn't that sound disgusting, like they're mutants or something? The mutinous soldiers began their revolt Thursday to protest the criminal trials of officers accused of human rights abuses, while Argentina was under military rule. The Argentine government is urging citizens to rally for democracy, and reports say thousands are doing so. With ethnic rioting continuing in the Soviet republics of Armenia and Azerbaijan, local communist officials got a... our ribbon's running out on our teletype, so let's got to use microvision here. Local communist officials got a pasting today. Oh, yes, it's AP lingo for you. They got a pasting today from the Soviet news agency TASS. When's the last time you got a pasting from someone? Dispatch criticized local leaders for failing to halt the violence that has killed at least 28 people. TASS also says Kremlin officials have beefed up security at utilities and transportation facilities in the republics to prevent sabotage. Israel today released four hijackers to Soviet custody and says it did so after receiving assurances the four would not face the death penalty. The four hijackers and a woman, the wife of one of them, arrived in Israel yesterday aboard a commandeered jet from southern Russia. And the strange thing is, nobody knows why. Representatives of more than 100 nations are arriving in Montreal for global free trade talks. And already, the European Economic Community and the U.S. are skirmishing over farm subsidies. The EEC is under heavy pressure from the U.S. and other major grain-exporting countries to reduce the protection it gives its farmers. At least 24 people suffered minor injuries when an early morning earthquake struck Southern California today. The 3:38 a.m. Pacific Time quake registered 5 on the Richter scale and was centered beneath Pasadena City Hall. Yep, right underneath Pasadena City Hall. That's where that earthquake took place. No serious damage has been reported. The recent wave of anti-abortion demonstrations continued today. Police in New York, Ohio, and Indiana arrested more than 400 people for blocking entrances to abortion clinics. In Harrell Township, New Jersey, more than 50 demonstrators forced the closure of the Women's Medical Center. Authorities say all of the protests were peaceful. The CBS Broadcast Center in New York City was the scene of a one-hour standoff today. As police tell it, a man threatened to detonate a bomb unless he was allowed to read a statement on camera about a child custody fight. The man finally surrendered. His suitcase contained only a brick and a bunch of wires. Doesn't sound too intelligent to me. Authorities in southwestern Australia say they've rescued the last of 13 filmmakers who were trapped more than 250 feet underground in a desert cave. How did they get there? Well, the 13 were trapped when a rainstorm caused the mouth of the cave to collapse as they were making a documentary. The group managed to slip one by one through a hole dug by rescuers. And for those of you that think that you don't have to be a real man to make a documentary these days, well, that just goes to show you. Documentary, that's real work. You get your feet dirty in that kind of environment. Documentary makers, yes. In Australia. Not just anywhere, in Australia. Documentary work is almost as dirty as radio work. But no need to get into that at the moment. Let's look at the weather instead. 10 degrees Celsius, 50 on the Fahrenheit scale tonight. Windy with some cloudiness. Low near 30. Winds becoming northwest, increasing to 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts. Tomorrow, windy with partly sunny skies. Highs in the mid-30s. Winds northwest, 15 to 25 miles per hour with stronger gusts. Kind of a useless word there. Whoever heard of weaker gusts? Tomorrow night, clear, breezy. Low 85 to 30? Oh, that's our teletype again. It's a 25. Okay. Low 25 to 30. Yes. Currently 10 degrees Celsius, 50 on the Fahrenheit scale. And welcome to Brain Damage. We're with you up until 12 o'clock. And the first thing I want to discuss, the first thing I want to get off my mind is this whole Shoreham business. Now, I don't know if you've been following the latest in this ongoing saga, which has been going on for as long as I can remember. This plant was designed back in the 1960s. It was supposed to go online in the early 70s, and here we are in the late 80s, and the thing still isn't completed, and we're all still upset about it. And now, the latest chapter in this whole bizarre, twisted mess is that the New York State Legislature has messed up. All right, I'll say it, they've screwed up. They have not reached an agreement among themselves to buy out the Shoreham plant. and get rid of it. Had a pretty good deal, $1. All they had to pay was $1 for the plant, and it would be out of Lilco's hands forever, for good. But no, the deadline passed. Deadline passed this week. And taking a look at today's Newsday, the Long Island Lighting Company said yesterday it would remain agreeable to the Shoreham shutdown settlement. I hope you don't mind the way I'm saying that. It's just, it feels better to say it that way for some reason. The Shoreham shutdown settlement, as long as it hasn't received permission to operate the nuclear plant. However, it said it would vigorously pursue that permission. In other words, it would vigorously try to get a license to operate the nuclear power plant at 100%. Seems like we've been down this road so many times before, and it seemed like it was all over. But no, here it is again. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know about anybody who is listening. I don't know about anybody who is around in Stony Brook today in the station. But I know one thing. I would gladly pay lots of money, if I had it, to get rid of that thing. It's rather silly and infantile at this stage to bicker over how much we're going to have to spend in electric rates. Let's just get rid of the thing and then debate it later. Because right now there's a very real danger of the thing opening. We are disappointed that the New York State Legislature did not act on the settlement agreement, which was carefully conceived to balance the interests of all parties, Loco Chairman William Catacasino said in a statement. We believe it is important to end the controversy surrounding Shoreham so that Loco and state and local officials can work together to resolve the energy shortages on Long Island. While Loco said it would not renegotiate the deal, legislators suggested that they would continue their attempts to find ways to reduce the cost of the deal to ratepayers. But Governor Mario Cuomo said that was not possible because the deadline had passed and negotiations were over. Asked if he would have his staff continue to work with legislators, he said, no, it's over. It was over Thursday night. Cuomo and Loco negotiated the settlement over the summer, but were unable to convince legislators, led by a contingent of Long Island lawmakers, that the deal was the best outcome of the Shoreham stalemate. The parties to the agreement are no longer bound to it, Joseph McDonnell, Loco Vice President for Communications, said after Loco's board voted unanimously to continue to pursue licensing for the Shoreham plant and the emergency rate increase. And folks, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but quite recently, old Ronnie passed this new law. I don't know how he did it, but he just magically passed this law that says local and state authorities have no say in the licensing of nuclear plants anymore. So it doesn't matter that the state and local authorities, not to mention the people, forget the people, not to mention them, are all opposing this plant. If the federal government says okay, that's all there is to it. New law. And it was thought that that law wouldn't affect Shoreham or even Seabrook because their fates are kind of sealed at this point. But perhaps the fate of this plant has become unsealed. Rather scary thought. Perhaps we should look towards the Estonians. Don't like laws coming out of a distant place telling them what to do. Seems kind of like the same thing here. Assembly Speaker Mel Miller, Democrat of Brooklyn, said he was encouraged by the company's decision not to pull out of the deal altogether. We seek to... Arnor Bombeck? Oh, I turned to page 12 in part 2. Forgive me. Hate newspapers that have the same page numbers in different sections. Where was I? Speaker Mel Miller. We seek to work with all interested parties to accomplish the mutual goal of safe and reliable power at a reasonable price for the people of Long Island. My God, how many phrases are in that sentence anyway? Let's read that again. We seek to work with all interested parties to accomplish the mutual goal of safe and reliable power at a reasonable price for the people of Long Island. Come on! Mel Miller, give me a break. Speak English, will you? Senator James Lack, Republican of East Northport, called the next 2 weeks the quicksand period of democracy. That's where you put the hip boots on and wade in. There you go. Now that's using your alliteration there. Lack says when the rhetoric increases, the pressure increases, and hopefully over the next 2 weeks, some resolution will have been reached. He said as tears came to his eyes. Assemblyman Louis Yavoli, Democrat of Old Bethpage, said, "The door is certainly not slammed shut, and I think we'll all continue to be optimistic. There can be a resolution to this without bankrupting Long Island's ratepayers." So the deadline has come, it has gone, and things are pretty much the way they were. Oh boy. Assemblyman Paul Harenburg, Democrat of Bayport, said he still wanted to see the plant closed, but the only way that will happen is something beyond this settlement, something that will give it a little more relief for the ratepayers. A little more relief for the ratepayers, or hell for us and our future generations. Quite a gamble. In today's glorious edition of the New York Times, next step for Shoreham, open it. At this stage of the game, December 3rd, 1988, an editorial to open a nuclear power plant on Long Island. When it came down to this week's deadline, the New York legislature decided that Long Islanders feared high electric costs more than nuclear power. Instead of acting boldly on this new perception by turning down an agreement to decommission the Shoreham nuclear power plant and putting the $5 billion plus facility to productive use, they left town. No doubt the legislators hope that ratepayers will blame Governor Cuomo, not them, for the nuclear presence and the high cost of removing it. But Mr. Cuomo can still win on two fronts: shrewd politics and wise policy. There was and is only one sensible thing to do with Shoreham: make electricity. Two facts about Shoreham are basic. The plant, incorporating all safety features now required by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, is safer than others now in operation. Should tell you something about the others. Second, except for cost overruns through faulty management, the basic value of the plant is ultimately payable by LOCO's customers under rate formulas of the Public Service Commission. When Governor Cuomo recognized Long Island's resistance to the plant, he instituted a policy of planned neglect of all steps required for a federal operating permit. The refusal of local authorities to participate in evacuation planning led LOCO finally to negotiate the agreement with the governor. To pay LOCO for giving up Shoreham, the utility would be allowed to raise electric rates 63% over 10 years. Acknowledging Long Islanders' fear of high rates and certain that Republican state senators from Long Island would blame him for them, Mr. Cuomo insisted that the legislature accept joint responsibility for the buyout plan. By refusing to play, the legislature appears to think he can be made solely responsible for the future rate rises. The legislature is clever, but the governor still holds the winning ace. He can point out that since the deadline passed without legislative action, the power of decision has been handed by the legislature to LOCO. The utility will, of course, try to win its nuclear operating license. Meanwhile, any time it finds the buyout more attractive, it can demand that the agreement be enforced. Governor Cuomo can contend now that without legislative approval, the agreement he proposed is no agreement, leaving LOCO no choice but to push ahead toward opening Shoreham. The legislature has, in effect, given tacit assent to LOCO's application to open the plant as preferable to the buyout. Playing this ace, the governor would not only restore political balance in his favor, he would help assure Long Islanders of what they will otherwise have trouble achieving: an adequate, safe source of power. Yes, an adequate, safe source of power. From the New York Times! The New York Times! How dare they! My God! Safe source of power. A nuclear plant on Long Island. I'm canceling my subscription to them, Jim.
I thought for a second there that their type style had gone extremely italic, the way you mentioned the name of the paper.
That's what I think.
And And furthermore...
Good thing about the New York Times. I'm going to buy a Sunday Times tomorrow just to do the same thing.
You'll need, you'd need twice as long a program to do that if you were going to do the Sunday Times.
Go to hell, Times.
Do you think the people that wrote that live anywhere on Long Island?
Of course not, but I certainly hope a nuclear plant gets built in their backyards. I mean, come on, it's 1988. The thing was designed in the 60s. We've had two major nuclear accidents since then that we know of, and allegations are coming out about all these other ones that have been hidden from the public. We don't know what it does to us. We don't know how it's going to affect future generations. It's obvious. Obvious from the demonstrations, from the petitions, from the editorials, letters to the editor, from just the basic feeling of Long Islanders that we don't want this thing.
I would think so.
Now, you know, the Times, is they're in fantasy land if they think Long Islanders want that plant to open. But the people I'm really upset about are the New York State Legislature. They really don't seem to be taking this seriously. You know, and I think that's the only way that they can believe that that Long Islanders are serious about this. Is if we go to them, go to every single elected member of the New York State Legislature and say, hey, guy, or I don't know if there are any females from Long Island anyway, if you mess this up, you might as well start looking for another job, because we're not going to reelect anybody from the New York State Legislature that's associated with getting this plant open.
I wouldn't think so. I would think most people would vote against legislators involved with the opening of it.
Just gets me so riled to be so close and to have it messed up by some bureaucratic
argument. I was very surprised. I was shocked that it suddenly took this different turn.
Let's see what we have here.
On the way.
The outgoing majority leader of the state Senate says he thinks Governor Cuomo made a tactical mistake by requiring state legislators to approve his agreement to close the Shoreham nuclear power plant. State Senator Warren Anderson says without the requirement for legislative action, the landmark deal would likely have been in place by now. Instead, the future of Cuomo's deal with the plant owners, the Long Island Lighting Company, is up in the air. The state legislature refused to approve that settlement when they were in Albany last week. Cuomo had argued that the legislature had to approve the deal in order to allow the New York Power Authority to build conventional power plants on Long Island to replace Shoreham's power. But Anderson says he believes Cuomo just wanted to share the political pressure of the potentially unpopular deal. Well, folks, as I said before, I don't think any deal that gets that thing closed could possibly be unpopular. And I'm sure there's some way of dealing with the consequences, but right now I think we owe it to ourselves, owe it to our kids, owe it to everybody just to get rid of the threat. And then worry about the minor details later on. I don't know. But what do we do? Where do we go from here? We need to... You know what we need to do?
What's that?
We need to contact these people. Contact these individuals, the New York State Legislature. Okay. Jim?
Yes?
Somewhere in our newsroom, our phone books all over the all over the state, what I want you to do is to get up from your chair.
Right.
Leave the room that you are in now.
Right.
And go and fetch me the Albany phone book. Yes, the Albany phone book.
The Albany phone book.
Jim, where are you? You're supposed to be going getting
it. Oh, I know. I was just when you said that.
You left your voice behind.
No. I was amazed. You mean to tell me that you want me to get up, which I already am, walk out the door.
Walk out that door.
Walk into the newsroom.
All the way over to the newsroom. Come in here. Give me the Albany phone book.
You mean you want the Albany phone book?
The Albany phone
book?
Because I want to be able to give out the phone number for the legislature.
But you want the...
Albany phone book.
Okay. Well, here goes.
Boy, would have gotten it myself if I knew it was going to be a big dramatic deal.
No, I just, with the symbol, I especially underscoring it, I was stunned. Well, okay.
I will go get it myself.
No, that's okay. I'll go get the Albany phone book. No problem.
Jim's off to get the Albany phone book. And then we'll give you the numbers to call. And folks, if anything has ever been more important to you in the world... Well, no, that didn't quite come out right. If there has ever been anything that has been important This is important, folks, is what I'm trying to say. This is...
Are you sure you want me to get the Albany phone book?
Yeah, get the damn Albany phone book.
Yeah.
God, I don't know what it is. It's amazing. Yes, the Albany phone book, that's what we need. And then we will give you the phone number for the New York State Legislature. And then you can call and threaten all of the people that work for the New York State Legislature with termination. I don't mean real termination. I mean, you know, job termination. And just express your feelings if you feel as strongly about this as I do. And I know there are people out there, crazy people, that feel even more strongly about this than I do. In fact, they haven't really been paying attention to anything else over the past 20 years or so. And it's for those people that I'd like to dedicate this time that we've spent mulling over this. Jim, where is that phone book?
Can't find any Albany phone book.
You can't find the Albany phone book?
No, I can't, but what I'm going to try to do...
We have 55 phone books in there, and we don't have an Albany phone book?
It doesn't look like it.
And what do we have?
I'm going to try to do... I'm looking at a Manhattan...
Consolation prize here.
White pages under New York State government offices, and I'll see if that yields anything. And
well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you get the... Give me that.
Okay.
And... You run in there and get the Suffolk County
book,
because that way at least we'll get the local New York State Legislature people. And let's see if we can get a main number here. So we got New York City. We don't want that. New York State. Here we go. New York State. Look under L for legislature. And what do we have here? My God. Legislative Bill Drafting Commission Hotline. A toll-free number? This might be... Or the Legislative Retrieval System. Well, let's say Legislative Bill Drafting Commission Hotline. That's 800-342... Wait a minute. If I give out the number, you're going to call it before I do. No. We're going to call it first. And then we will give out the rest of the number. Legislative Bill Drafting Commission Hotline. That's them. That's their number ringing right now. This is all coming to you very live over the airwaves. You see what the problem is? I'll bet they've all gone home. All of them. That's disgusting. You can't find the Suffolk phone book?
No, I can find the Suffolk white pages, and I can find yellow pages.
White pages will be fine. Bring the Suffolk County white pages
okay,
in here.
Okay, good enough.
Okay. Obviously, these people are not going to answer their phone. So the number for the Legislative Bill Drafting Commission hotline, whatever that is 800-342-9860. You might call them and ask to speak to anyone in the legislature. You got the Suffolk book? Let me that.
Yep, we also have some blue pages in back of it.
Yeah, the blue pages are what I'm after here. Let's see if we can get any New York State legislators. And these may be numbers to their homes. As far as I'm concerned, that's fine.
I think it'd probably be your office numbers.
Sometimes they have offices in their homes, from what I hear.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, they just have the same...
Same numbers?
Well, no, wait a minute. Perhaps they'll listen under state senators and things like that? There's a State University of New York. Okay, here's the Senate. Yeah, this must be how they do it.
Yeah.
Okay, we have James J. Lack at the State Office Building in Hopog. His number is 360-0490. If you're in Brookhaven, you can call 467-2523. If you're in Huntington, call 421-3737. Then there's Owen H. Johnson of Babylon. He's a state senator, too. Give him a buzz, 669-9200. Kenneth Laval, 737-0140. He's in Center Reach. Well, that's not a Center Reach number. I don't know how he did that. Ralph Marino of Huntington, 673-4550. And Cesar Trunzo of Hopog, 360-3230. 636. And, I guess that's everything. I don't know. Do you know what the others would be listed as? Other state legislators?
You mean from around the state?
Yeah, would they be assembly people? I don't even know.
Well, oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give the wrong numbers out.
Well, is there any listing there at all that says state assembly? New York State Assembly?
No, just assembly members.
It says assembly
members. You all have phone books. You know, I shouldn't have to do this.
Well, it's...
You all have phone books, and most of you can read. I know that. So, go to your blue pages, which are in the back mm-hmm. of your white pages, and look up these things and call these people, please, for all of our sake. I don't want to spend all that much time on this, because it's kind of a nasty subject, but... boy, I mean, I'd hate to think of what would happen if that thing actually went online, after all this, you know? What a horrible sense of defeat we'd all get, you know?
It seems, it just seems so surprising. It was going along in one direction, and then suddenly, up in the air.
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm doing something else.
Oh, that's quite all right.
It's making...
Quite all right. You're listening to Brain Damage with Eric Corley on 90.1 FM WUSB.
Yes, and we'll be back right after this musical melody, and then we'll return. And that is, of course, Negative Land here in WUSB in Stony Brook with, what is that called? Anyway, always listen to it. You Don't Even Live Here, which you can be assured most people that write editorials in the New York Times live nowhere near Shoreham, and if they do, they've already been affected by it. Enough of that. Something positive, something nice. The brand new USB program guides are out and available. And if you'd like one, simply send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. Put your address on it, the stamp, and we will cram this program guide inside it. You know, this, I don't know how this will fit in the regular envelope. I guess we'd have to fold it a couple more times. I could probably do it. It's a good... Jim, have you seen this program?
Yes, they're very nice.
One piece of paper, everything is on.
Very handy.
Very handy. You can carry it with you wherever you go. And it really wraps it all up. There's everything there is to say about the station.
And there's no nuclear hazard that we know of associated with it.
No. Program guides are very safe. So get yours today. Oh, the address to send your envelope to, your self-addressed stamped envelope, is WUSB Program Guide, State University of New York at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794.
And there is no necessity for any emergency evacuation plans should you become entangled within the program guide, as far as we know. It should be very easy to just extricate yourself.
Call your local fire
department. Fling your hand around. Well, I don't think you have to do that. Just fling your hand around and you'll be able to get out of it.
You know, one thing I noticed in this program guide that hasn't been on the other ones, we seem to have titles for all of the programs now. Of course, we have Tasty Love with Todd Parrish, Monday mornings, 12 to 3. We have Ridding the Mind of Waste, Tuesday mornings from 12 to 3 with Barry T. or Sandy Jaramillo. Then Wednesdays, Making Do, D-U-E, with Ron Phillips and Billy Polos, I believe is how you pronounce that. Psychedelic Anarchy, Club USB, The Joe Show, Breakfast in the Fields, Large Black Coffee, The Ed Davis Show with Ed Davis. All kinds of titles here. Pre-Dawn Semiotics, Airshift, Channel 69, The Hoedown from Hell, Radio Babylon, Sounds from the Outhouse, Hammer the Halo. It's incredible. All these things going on here. Now let's take a look at what's happening today. Right now we are brain damaged right here from 10 to 12. From 12 to 2:30, The Brothers Show with Bill and Nick Capozzi. 2:30 to 4:30, Power Surge with Dawn and Raz. From 4:30 to 7, Morning Star with Bob Longman. From 7 to 9 in the morning, that's Sunday morning, Oldies with Bill Lazaroff. Then from 9 to 12, Charlie Backfish. What a title that is, huh? Charlie Backfish. 12 to 2:30, Jazz on the Air with Rob Franza. 2:30 to 5, Iron Strauss or Gary Pecorino. From 5 to 6, Sonido Clandestino. That's a good show. I hear it sometimes. 6 to 7, Polka Country USA with Teresa Zapolska. From 7 to 8, India Hour. From 8 to 9, Voice of China. From 9 to 10, Korean Life. From 10 to 11, the sports section. 11 to 11:30, Polity Perspective. 11:30 to 12, The Message. This can get awfully monotonous if I keep reading this. So I'm going to stop here. But definitely check out the new USB program guide update. And send your self-addressed stamped envelopes to us, and you'll get it real soon. Oh, well, I almost wasn't on time tonight, Jim.
Yes.
I phoned you from New York to tell you that I might be late because I was taking a train. Actually, I've been going to the city several times over the past few days, and each time I've been driving to a different station, depending on the schedule, because the trains don't often come out here to Stony Brook. Not all that often, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes depending on how things are and what I have to do, this week I've driven to Huntington, as I did today. I raced the train home. And I also drove to Mineola. And once, a couple of weeks ago, I drove to Ronkonkoma.
Uh-huh.
And before that, once I even drove to Babylon.
Oh.
And I just know that the day is approaching when I'm going to forget where I drove to and find myself on a train going to the wrong, not to the wrong place, but just going beyond where I put my car.
That happened to me once.
It did?
Yes.
Want to tell me about it?
It wasn't as bad as it sounds. My recollection is that I didn't... Now, come to think of it, I think I did do that. I think what happened was that I parked my car at one station and thought that I had parked it at the next station east of that station.
Uh-huh.
And that night I took the train back to the next station east, got off, I think this might... I either thought about this or this happened to me. Got off and thought to myself, oh, my. Yeah, I think this might have happened one time. Oh, my, I left my car back there and then
had
to go back.
Did you really say, oh, my, in your head?
I wasn't that risque in my language. I think I said, oh, dear, in my head.
Ooh, that's really taking a chance there.
No, I would have thought that oh, my was more risque than oh, dear, but I...
Well, it changes with the times.
I guess so, yes. I suppose so. This was back in the early 1920s.
Uh-huh.
So
they had trains back then, huh?
Well, yes, of course. The Long Island Railroad, you know, has been operating since 1834.
You know, I was in the Jamaica station not too long ago, and they have this big display... In the lobby area,
yes,
that shows pictures of the Jamaica station back in 1913.
Yes,
it really doesn't look all that different.
It doesn't. It's really interesting. I have a funny story associated with. I think it's funny associated with that display, that very display that you speak of.
Well, let me see if it's the same as my funny story because I do have a funny story attached to
it. Go
that.
Ahead. You go first.
It's a clipping from the Long Island Daily Farmer, and they have this article about the Jamaica train station and everything like that. But what also is on that same front page is this amazing story entitled "Policeman Shoots Negro."
Oh my God!
It goes into detail about how this cop shot what we now would call a black man, but what they called then a Negro, because he was acting strange or something, and he did it to scare him, but he didn't mean to hit him.
Oh
but
my
he
gosh.
Hit him anyway, and. Just the way they described things was just so, it was so strange to read this. They described the Negro as being ugly with drink.
Oh.
It was the most incredible thing, and treating this person like he wasn't even human.
Hmm.
This is in whatever the Long Island Daily Farmer was, but I'm sure the New York Times and all the other papers, pretty much used the same kind of lingo and way of speaking.
I'd say at least some of the papers must have.
And here's this big display up in the middle of Jamaica Station with this story, not highlighted, mind you, but very readable if you look for it. And I just thought it was incredible because it is a true sign of the times.
Oh, that was actually in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, on the front page. I don't think it should be cut out. I think it should be up there for people to see.
I suppose, as a matter of historical record, and I suppose one would hope that what people glean from it is that... is that they're disturbed by the implications of the treatment of blacks.
What do you know? I happened to write down the story when I was there. This was a few weeks ago, so I forgot that I still had this. I do have it. The title is "Policeman Shoots Negro, Sends Bullet into Prisoner Who Had Seized His Weapon." This is from the Daily Long Island Farmer, Monday, March 10th, 1913. Policeman Devin of Babylon on Sunday shot Charles May, can't read my own writing here, I think it's Mayhew, a Negro. He is dying in the SS Hospital. I believe that means Southside Hospital. Yes, I was abbreviating there. He is dying in the Southside Hospital with a bullet in his abdomen. Devin, who had a warrant for the arrest of Mayhew, who is a giant in size and ugly when in drink, went to the stable in the rear of the Sherman House shortly afternoon to take him in custody on a charge of assaulting a man with a bottle. Mayhew resisted, and Devin pulled out a gun of some sort to frighten him, but the Negro wrested the weapon from the policeman. Believing Mayhew would use the revolver on him, Devin drew another weapon and fired. And that's, I believe the rest of it was cut off. So that was the story from that historical issue. And it's just, I like to look back on newspapers sometimes just to see how things have changed. And I would say that's one of them.
In terms of linguistics involved, certainly.
I mean, cops are still shooting people, but, it's addressed in a rather different way these days. But anyway, getting off that subject, let's go to your... quote-unquote funny story of the Jamaica display.
Well, what had happened was that with the 75th anniversary of Jamaica Station, which is why, of course, this display came about, this was put together, this display was put together, and I became aware of it one day when I was waiting for a train at Jamaica. I had some time So I ambled down off the platforms, not onto the tracks, but down the stairs.
You don't want to do that.
No.
Although I see people. Do you ever see people walking along the tracks to those little strange houses? Which I don't know what goes on in those houses.
I guess they're railroad employees and they have different duties, but they are, I guess, you know, are trained well as to how to do it. But
they walk right next to the third rail. I mean, next within inches.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how they can do that.
It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. As a matter of fact, I once saw at Babylon Station somebody jump down onto a track as a train was pulling in. Fortunately, nothing happened to him. But it was very scary to see. This was a passenger that must have overslept and I guess was inebriated. And he got off the train at Babylon, an eastbound train, at the end of the line.
Must have been a diesel, wasn't it?
Well,
you can't jump off the electric ones. The doors don't open.
What happened was there were, you know, two platforms at Babylon and three tracks. And so he got off a train that was on one of the outside tracks onto the platform, and the conductor was indicating to him that he could go down some steps, walk to another stairway, and walk back up to the platform on the other side of the middle track, and get a train back to the station west of Babylon that he had slept through.
Uh-huh.
And the guy seemed a bit disoriented. It looked like he was drunk. And he decided as a matter of a shortcut, he would just jump onto the middle track, which, of course, you have the danger initially of the third rail, plus the danger of a train if it comes in on the track, and then he would climb up on the platform. So he proceeded to jump down on the track, and all of a sudden, as he does this, I hear this horn, and I look to my left, and into the station is coming a diesel. And it's not too easy to stop one of those things too quick. And
it's,
I thought,
it's on the track that he's on.
Right on the track that he's on. And he is having trouble climbing up on the platform. It was easy for him to jump off, but not so easy for him to climb back up. So,
and if anyone doesn't believe that, just go to the new Stony Brook station and try climbing up that platform that they just installed there. It's very hard. It's easy to climb to jump down.
Yeah, but you got to watch it.
I
wouldn't recommend jumping down.
No, but they are installing another platform, and you can practice on that one because they won't be running trains on it yet.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those unique opportunities that you have to practice those kind of things that you've always wondered about.
But
it's hard to climb up on those platforms.
Yeah, it is.
So
it is. So I thought to myself, oh, my God, there's about to be a tremendous amount of carnage taking place. And
I've got a front row seat.
Yeah, not something that I was aspiring to. And fortunately, the engineer skillfully stopped the train in enough time with a sufficient amount of margin. And I looked over, looking for this guy. I didn't see him. What he had done is he had rolled under the platform. He had enough instinct to do that. And then,
was it one of the platforms that has an underneath? Because some of them are walled off.
Apparently, this had one, I think. But he rolled back out onto the track, stood up, and then started running headlong towards the engine.
It's not going to hit me. I'm going to hit it.
Exactly. And climbed up on the engine, and then climbed up onto the platform from the engine, and then.
Did the engineer have a word or two to say to this guy?
Excuse me, I couldn't tell because I had to get onto the train on the adjacent track that was going towards the city, and the passenger was, I guess, I don't remember the exact details, but he wasn't too swift in realizing that was the train that he should get on. He was very quick to get onto the track, but not so quick, apparently, to get on the train. And I think he might have even missed that train, which pulled out, you know, a few seconds afterwards.
Some people just have all the odds against them, you know?
Yes, yes. I felt bad for the engineer, of course. It's a very disturbing experience.
I can imagine.
Must be for engineers to have to go through that. But I saw something similar in the subway, where, again, my hat must go off, or I don't think I was wearing a hat at the time, but if I had one, I would have put it on and had taken it off to the motorman of the subway, who had very good instincts. This happened before this other incident that I described. I was standing on a platform of an IRT East Side train in downtown Manhattan, and I saw somebody fall. Maybe he was ill, not drunk necessarily, but fall onto a track.
Why?
And he falls onto the track, and this train comes barreling into the station. And I thought, oh my gosh, the same kind of thought.
Twice in one lifetime.
There could be some more carnage, or some carnage here. And Much to my admiration, the motorman very skillfully, without creating a hazard for the passengers through a short stop, was able to very evenly bring the train to a halt. By the time I realized he had stopped the train, he was already on the radio to the nearby control tower to have them cut the power to avoid third rail difficulty,
uh-huh.
which was done. The tower said, "Your third rail's off," a couple seconds later, so the tower reacted nice and quick. And I guess some policemen had come by then, and the man was helped onto the platform, and he was injured, but apparently not seriously. Now, of course, these stories both had happy endings, but we, of course, hastened to warn the audience that these do not necessarily indicate that you can get away with jumping or falling onto tracks.
Well, I can't imagine anybody desiring to fall onto a track.
No, apparently not, but you know something? The Long Island Railroad, you may know, has actually had to put out a pamphlet from their public affairs office. Has actually had to publish a pamphlet warning people against being hit by trains.
Yeah, I can't understand that.
I mean, it's not just that they warn them not to go on the tracks. They have to actually tell them that it's not a good experience to get hit by the train. The description they use is that it has physically and psychologically devastating results.
Yeah, well, I mean, people think they can challenge a train, you know?
Apparently, yes. There's a great poster in one of the Long Island Railroad stations that I've seen, where there's a diesel that's crashed into a car,
mm-hmm.
and the line underneath reads, "Even when it's a tie, you lose." So it's an effective warning.
I've seen that.
But I'm sorry. Getting back, I didn't mean to digress. Getting back to the display on the Jamaica station. I went down to the waiting room of Jamaica Station, and they had this display. And I was looking at it, and I couldn't get all the way through it because my train was going to be coming in. Since I went back up to the platform and took the train, I figured I'd catch it at Jamaica sometime soon after that. And about a week or so after that, I found myself in Jamaica Station again with some time on my hands. So I went back down to the waiting room.
Uh-huh.
Lo and behold, the display was gone. I figured, gee, that was quick.
Wow.
And I couldn't figure out what had happened to it. A couple weeks after that, an acquaintance of mine tells me that he had the most bemusing experience at the Flatbush Avenue terminal of the Long Island Railroad, wherein he noticed at a very isolated portion of a platform in a very dimly lit area.
I know what he's talking about. There's a very, I can't figure out what it's for, it's extremely dimly lit.
Mm-hmm, must have been it. And he sees this commemorative display of the 75th anniversary of Jamaica, for the 75th anniversary of Jamaica Station.
In Flatbush.
At Flatbush Avenue. Now, you see, that would indicate that what they were doing was moving the display around to different stations. And as a matter of fact, sometime after that, I saw it at the Babylon Station. So they did move it around, and now it's back, or it was back, the last I saw it at Jamaica Station. But
why don't they simply make more than one?
Well, I guess maybe it would be difficult, but for them, possibly. But to do all the reproducing and such. But the thing that was amusing about this, not only was the fact that it was in such a dimly lit area, but when this acquaintance of mine went to inquire at an information booth of some kind or some employee of the railroad about the display. And it would seem that the employee would have known about it. The employee at first professed not to know about it. So it was almost as if they were ashamed of the 75th anniversary of Jamaica Station and felt that pro forma they had to have a display but would keep it out of sight. But apparently this was not the case. I guess it was just some confusion because they have had it prominently displayed in well-lit areas. But, of course, what it brought to my mind was the hypothetical situation. Amusing only in a hypothetical sense, that somebody doesn't see the display because it's so dimly lit, hurts himself, and then there's this big news story about a commuter getting injured by a commemorative display of the Long Island Railroad. Of course,
that's
never happened, and you know,
a nightmare that lives in every train that's worst dreams.
Railroad employees, I admire them by and large, and as a matter of fact, speaking of the status of railroad employees and admiration of them, did you remember when there was some negative publicity about a lot of overtime being racked up by a conductor on Metro North about a couple of years ago?
I can't recall.
It was quite strange to me because, first of all, this conductor had done nothing wrong legally. He, as a matter of fact, he was following not only legal procedure. I mean, that is to say, he was not doing anything illegal, and he was also not doing anything against Metro North Company policy.
Uh-huh.
What he did, because he was eager to make a lot of money, was to hang around with as much free time as he could apply to this pursuit. He used hanging around the Metro North, office where conductors are assigned overtime. And this is a perfectly legitimate thing that he did. And any time a conductor, would be sick, couldn't come in, or maybe they had to add extra trains or something, this conductor, as often as he could, would be there so that he could get additional work.
So what was the end result?
And the end result was that he got a tremendous amount of overtime, according to certain sources, felt that it was a tremendous amount of overtime, and that they felt that the procedure should be changed, and that I guess they felt that it should be more evenly distributed as far as overtime is concerned, so that maybe his rate of pay as it went into overtime wouldn't be as great. But what really struck me was that some of the treatment of the coverage of this story was implying that this conductor had done something evil, which he hadn't, and one newspaper went so far as to run, I believe it was the New York Post, as to run a picture of a house that the conductor owned. And I think the caption read something like, "This is the house of this conductor that racked up all this overtime." Now, I looked at the house, and it appeared to me to be not a tremendously opulent dwelling. It looked nice, but it didn't look as if it didn't look like a mansion. But what the paper seemed to be suggesting was that this man was living far more opulently than he deserved to live. And it didn't, number one, didn't look extremely opulent. Number two, I thought it was wrong for there to be an implication that if somebody is a conductor, who, by the way, not only is responsible for collecting a lot of fares and for making sure that these are delivered properly to the revenue office, but number two, operates a train and is in charge of the safety of the passengers on the train, and it's an important job, and it's a skilled job. And by the way, I'm not a conductor, nor do I know one personally, so this is not some kind of partisan diatribe I'm going through. It's just what I personally feel. And it's a job I think that somebody can, I think any job that someone performs well, they can be proud of. But I'm saying that a conductor can be proud of the job that he has working in railroading. And the paper seemed to be suggesting that he didn't deserve to make money decent enough to own a reasonably decent-looking home. It seemed to me to be suggesting that the only decent home for a conductor, I mean, maybe I'm going a little far here, but what I was prompted to ask the New York Post was, "Hey, New York Post, what do you think? A conductor should live in a dirt hovel?"
Uh-huh.
I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But why, certainly let alone a conductor. So it struck me as an interesting attitude. I felt it was a snobbish kind of attitude towards the conductor.
Well, one that's not at all uncommon in media.
No, it's odd, very odd. I mean, I think any job that somebody has is something they can be proud of doing. If
the guy didn't break any laws, which obviously you say he didn't.
And he did not. He absolutely did not break any laws.
That should be the end of it as far as he is
concerned. Policy. That's right. But they were really seemed to be beating a dead horse. And making much of the fact, well, this is a conductor, and look, he lives in a house. You know, it was as if they were saying to me, it was as if they were saying he lives in a house with a floor, you know, four walls and a roof. And hey, look, some people, you know, don't have jobs, and many of them through no fault of their own, and they have no reason to be ashamed either. And I don't wish on them bad living conditions. So why go after a conductor of a train?
Yeah, you know, garbage men make a lot of money too.
Yes, and I think they deserve to.
They certainly do.
A very unpleasant job, a very vital job.
Unpleasant time of day to do it and everything.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I took out the garbage in my house a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was amazing. I left it down there, you know, late at night at the end of the driveway by the road,
uh-huh.
and I went down the next morning and the can was empty. And I realized, in some way here, I have this very primitive form of communication with these people that I never see. I bring out these bags and put them in a can, and they remove them and leave the can for me to take back in. And it just happens time after time again. And if I you know, do it wrong if I leave a bag, you know, outside the can or something, you know, that's not considered proper, the bag is left there.
Uh-huh.
As a message to me that I have done wrong and should not do that again.
Hmm.
And then I don't do that again. I put it in the right way, and it's taken as sort of a, you know, a pat on the back to me.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I don't understand, how do you leave garbage men Christmas tips? I never could figure that out.
Well, I think what people do is that they can't
leave... putting money in the garbage, but I have the feeling they're not getting it, you know?
I suppose that you could risk taping an envelope with the money to the outside of the can, but that's a risk because, you know, you don't know whether somebody might come along who doesn't...
People have stolen the cans.
It,
yeah.
No, but I was going to say, I think what most people do give the money personally. Wait till there's a time when they can meet
ambush the garbage men?
Well, I wouldn't ambush them, but I mean, you know, openly, you know, and calmly approach them and say, happy holidays and hand them the money.
Well, that would be a trip, sure. That would really be something. I'd like to...
And I'm sure they would appreciate it.
Meet your garbage man week.
Yes.
That would be a good thing to do, I think.
Yes.
I mean, how many people out here know their garbage man? You know? You know your mailman.
Mm-hmm.
You know your oil man sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
George Bush,
you know,
is our oil man, isn't he?
You know the UPS man? He doesn't even come on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what other people come to your house? Sometimes the policeman comes to your house.
Uh-huh.
You usually know him. We make a point of knowing him. But rarely does anybody know who their garbage men are. There's usually more than one, true, as the driver, and then there's, you know, sometimes two other people that do things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's high time that we cross that bridge. Well, speaking of trains, which
yes.
we kind of... by the way, we should give out our phone number because we've been babbling away here.
I know, I'm sorry. You know, you mentioned trains and I go off
I know.
Off
I know. We both go off on tangents, and I know many other people do, but if anyone wants to call up with stories about trains or Shoreham or any other thing that we've been discussing, our number is 632-6901, and just give us a call, and we'll pick up the phone. As soon as I tell you about the subways, you know, next Sunday, a week from tomorrow, will be the... a date that will live in history, the largest number of changes in the New York subway system since its inception, I believe.
Yes, 1904.
There's going to be three new stations, new subway stations.
Will they have trains stopping at them?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they've thought it all out. And it's really amazing what they're thinking of here. Now... I have a dim knowledge of it inside my head, and I'll try to tell you what's going to be happening. Basically, I don't know if you remember the old J train that used to go
yes.
into Jamaica and actually stop near Jamaica Station.
Yes.
They tore down the yellow, or actually they're still tearing down the yellow.
Right.
I don't know what's taking them so long. But what they have been doing, those little devils, what they've been doing is they've been digging a tunnel underneath Jamaica, and now
mm-hmm.
they have what they call the Archer Avenue extension, which goes
uh-huh.
to Jamaica Station and beyond Jamaica
right.
Station. And what they're going to do is they're going to be extending the J train from wherever it terminates now, I believe it's 121st Street, from there to the end station, which is going to be called Jamaica Center.
Hmm.
That's one of three brand new stations. And really, if I do say so myself, because I stuck my head through the door the other day just to see what it looked like in there, it's a nice-looking station. You'd think you were in Washington, D.C. or something.
Oh, wow.
Really incredible. And there's two other stations like that. Now, the surprising thing about all of this, the J train will be making, you know, the run all the way to the end there, but they have introduced a new train, a new line. Now, Jim, do you have any idea what that line is?
Is it the Z line?
You got it. You got it. Where did you hear about this?
You know, what happened was I saw, and I meant to look at it yesterday, didn't get a chance, the back page of the New York Times has an ad about all these changes that
uh-huh.
the Transit Authority placed, and I saw... different emblems for bus routes and train routes, and I noticed one of them said Z, so I figured, oh, there's a new train line called the Z line.
There is. I don't know why they picked Z. There's still a few other letters left.
Right.
But yes, indeed, there is a Z train. It's going to be a rush hour train. Now, this is what gets kind of mysterious here, because it's going to run the exact same route as the J train. It'll terminate at both ends at the same place. The only difference
mm-hmm.
is the Z train will run during rush hours, and the J train... during rush hours will skip some stops, and the Z train will stop at the stops that it skips and
oh.
skip the stops that the J train stops
oh,
at.
Oh, yes.
Now, they
yes.
say this will make things faster for everybody, and it does seem to sort of make sense. It'll make things faster, but I can't help but think that if you're behind a J train that's stopping at every other station and you're in a Z train,
How is it really faster?
That's a good question. What I wonder is if they have made a study of the number of people at different stations that will be using the trains at different times and have determined that it's optimum to have one of the trains making certain stops and another train making other stops at different times. I don't know if that interests
you. Yeah, but you still just have two tracks. And if there's a slow train in front of
you,
no matter what stations you skip, you're still going to be slow.
Absolutely, unless they have certain areas where there's more than one, where there maybe there's a third track for rush hour express service, or you know where a train can.
Well, it's possible. I haven't really looked at it that closely.
It's the only thing that I could think of.
So they are going to be adding the Z. The other thing they're doing is the E train, which currently goes to 179th Street in Jamaica, is actually going to divert itself away from that line.
I hope it'll do so on a track.
Yes, it will. And
the tower will know about it.
Everybody knows about this.
Good.
It's going to join the J line. Can you believe that?
Ah.
The E and the F train line will be connected to the J line.
The F train also? Or
not
just,
the F train,
just
no,
the E.
That line.
I see.
The E train, I believe it's at Sutphin Boulevard, will just sort of cut away from the F and go over to where the J and the Z are, and it will terminate at the Jamaica Center Station 2. And to replace the E train going to 179th Street, the R train will extend its run from Continental Avenue all the way over to 179th Street. And I think that's just amazing. I think that's incredible. And the other thing that they're going to be doing, which has met with some controversy, and the fact that I believe there was a demonstration in the city today, they will be eliminating the K train.
Oh.
No more K train service as of next Sunday. Now, the K train attracts a pretty loyal bunch of people, of which I'm proud to say I'm one. And
where does that go again? I can't.
That goes from Upper Manhattan, or maybe even in the Bronx, down to World Trade Center.
Oh yeah.
It does not run during rush hours. It runs at all times except rush hours. However, what they're going to be doing now is expanding the C train, which is the train that runs during rush hours, and they're just going to replace the K train with that. You know, I think it's horrendous, but what are you going to do, you know? And the K train really hasn't been around all that long. You know, the K train used to be the double A train.
K train used to be the double A.
It's had a shaky history.
Yes,
it's had a shaky history.
True.
The double A train turned into the K, and now the K train has been eliminated. And the only other train I can think of that's been eliminated was the double E train, which used to run from Continental Avenue to somewhere in Manhattan. They just killed it one day.
Was there also, I believe, an H train, a Rockaway?
There is an H train still. There is an H train.
Does it still?
It used to be
the
double H train, but now it's just a single H train.
That's a, I think, part a Rockaway local or something?
It's a shuttle. Yeah, it's a shuttle service, I think, from Euclid Avenue to Rockaway, But I don't know. That K thing really kind of disturbs me. The other thing, of course, is the 63rd Street Tunnel, which supposedly will be opening next year.
Wow.
I don't know what train they're going to make up to go there or where it's going to
Well, that's been quite an odyssey.
Anyway, what?
I was going to say, remember that there was talk years ago of an east side Long Island Railroad terminal in Manhattan?
There is, isn't there? Oh, not an east side. Oh, there's a west side.
Right, there's the one, there's Penn Station, and they have the Camera Yards now where they store trains west of Penn Station. You can see them as you go down what is it, I guess, West Street, around 30th Street. You can see a lot of the electrics stored. They go right up to the street, and there's a fence, and they're stored there. But there was supposed to be, some years back, plans, which never came through, for an east side terminal, I think around 63rd Street in Manhattan, for the Long Island Railroad, which would be quite a boon to people who work a little further uptown, who wouldn't want to bother to go over to Hunters Point Avenue or Long Island City in Queens, and who don't want to go all the way over to the west side to Penn Station.
Well, I know they will be. Amtrak is going to be moving away from Grand Central over to Penn Station. I don't know when that's going to happen, but
I guess
in a
couple of years.
That's going to be something.
That'll be interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, our phone number is 632-6901. We have one open line. Let's see if we can fill that one open line before we go to the calls. That's area code 516-632-6901. I don't know. Is there something psychologically good about going into the phone calls and all the lines are lit? You know,
yes.
It sort of does something for us. makes us feel really good.
What do you have in there? Five lines, right?
There's five lines altogether, and four of them are ringing away.
Right.
So it's 632-6901. Let's get that other one. Oh, someone just hung up. Oh, how do you like that? Someone just hung up.
Extraordinary. I mean, surprising.
That's really horrible. That's really horrible. Now we have two open lines. 632-6901. That's our phone number. And give us a call before we dive into another topic.
We're back to four.
We're back to four. Now let's get that fifth one lit, and we'll go right to the calls. Done all the talking up till now, and waiting for the listeners to just dial their phones. Okay, look, you don't even have to stay on. You can just make the phone ring, then we'll go into the calls, and then you'll hang up, and what can we do about it? There's nothing we can do about it, right? It's not even going to cost you anything, you know? Come on, pull over to the side of the road, dial the phone number so we can get on with the show. 632-6901. You know, we can stay here a very long time. We can talk a long time.
That's right.
About nothing in particular.
We can tell you about the Montauk Light.
All it takes is... The Montauk Light?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to do that. All it takes is one person.
Not the White House, the Montauk Light.
Doesn't even take a person.
It's the name of a train.
Last week we had a machine calling us.
Ran during the summer. Yeah. Actually, up, I think, into November.
This is incredible. I think what we're meeting with here is kind of a unified front, you know?
To avoid us... Oh, we've dropped,
like that. They hung
dropped
up again.
That call again. Very strange.
Maybe it's something about that line. Well, now we have two open lines. Two open lines. Well, you know, and the people this is hurting the most are the people that are ringing the phones right now.
That's right.
You know? Wasting time in their valuable day to call us. There we go.
Four.
We got a bingo.
Oh, you have five?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Very nice. Thank
you appeal to people's sense of the other listeners. And
that's
they,
right.
They come
very
through,
altruistic.
You know?
Absolutely.
You even imply that other listeners are being embarrassed or wasting their time. And they come right through. Well,
very nice.
Well, we're going to go to the phones. Our number is 632-6901. If you get a busy signal, just keep trying, and we'll try to get to you. The program is Brain Damage. The station's WUSB. Brain Damage, you're on the air.
Good evening, Mr. Corley. This is Stilton.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, very good. Did you find out what that number was?
Which number is this?
That one that I called you last week off the air about.
Oh, you gave me a phone number that answered with a weird... let me put you on hold, and I will actually call the number. Because people can't tell what number I'm calling because all these beeps sound the same. And this is the sound that we get. If anyone out there knows what this is, you tell us. Apart from a nasty ring. It's all kinds of numbers like this floating around. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I think it's a teletype. I think it's like one of those things that... one of those things that deaf people use to communicate with.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it's a... Okay, I think I've heard this bad enough of that. It's not a computer modem, because computer modems, they sound of... So what a computer number. Whoops, I can't do that. Uh-oh. I set off an alarm. the men in blue coats are going
to
come together.
Either that or you're the 1 millionth caller to somewhere and you're going to win a lot of valuable prizes.
So now this is what an actual computer modem sounds like. Not that, that's the ring. See, that's a computer modem. I don't know what that one is. Then it'll go back and then it'll try the other one again. And then we'll hang up. See? Stony Brook modems, on the other hand, have a different sound. They start with a different tone. And then go to the normal one. So that's a little lesson there on sounds. Now, I'm sorry to our caller for diverting like that, but if anyone out there knows what that is, let us know. Have you found any other interesting numbers?
Yeah, I found a couple, but they're not 1-800.
They're local numbers?
Yeah, 751, 773, stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Well, there's all kinds of bizarre things floating around. I know that... You know, the things I like the best are the ones that we called last week, the talking computers that attempt to communicate with you
Well, I can't do that because I have a rotary dial phone.
Uh-huh. Why don't you have a touchtone phone?
I don't know. My parents are too cheap to buy touchtone service.
Well, you know, that's one of my pet peeves is the fact that people have to pay for touchtone service when, in fact, they're not paying for anything. The phone company has touchtone service to start with, and all you're paying for is the right to have it not turned off, which is something that I think everybody has. Remember, you're the person creating your touchtones. Your phone makes those tones, and the phone company doesn't really have anything to do with them. So that's something that I've been on about for a while.
Okay, and did you get the new Mr. Radio report?
No, I did not.
Did
we make it to this one?
What?
Did brain damage make it to this radio report?
No, but there's an... Mr. Radio got the press release photograph of Dave Feeder. You might like
I'm sorry, we don't allow those kind of words on the air.
What?
Sorry. I don't mean to be rude, but there's certain words we don't allow on the air, and those two words that he just used are one of them. Why'd you just hand me here? This is a piece of paper with those words all over it. My God. And a picture of him, too. Oh, boy. This is a bit much. Mr. Radio's report returns. It's only one sheet of paper. Last time it was like a little booklet. All these commercial radio stations. Oh, get it away. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Did you call 1-800-4-TRUTH?
You know, I didn't do it.
Oh.
What's on the other end of that?
The other end is Dianetics.
Dianetics, huh?
Yeah, the Dianetics people, Church of Scientology, try to talk to you.
Would you like to try to talk to them?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I have before.
Well, are you good at it?
Fairly.
Okay, hold on. 4-TRUTH. Let's basically conference him into that and let him do the talking, because I don't know what to say to these people. Oh, wait a minute, there's one too many letters there.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, there are a lot of places where they'd have eight.
That's one too many letters.
I know.
But
wait,
by the time you deal
with
it.
Yo, it's ringing here.
And
Take it away.
1-800-4-TRUTH. Hi, you're on the air on WUSB, and I'd like to know, what is truth? Well, what, you know, this is 4-TRUTH, and I'd like to know, why is it 4-TRUTH?
Okay, well, it's 4-TRUTH because Dianetics is a true science on what your mind is really doing. It's not theory, it's not conjecture. Have you read the book?
I actually have read some of it.
Okay, tell me a little bit about what you read.
Well, basically talks about, you know, you can remember anything. You know, your mind is one big storehouse and you can go back. But, you know... Is that the truth? Is that the absolute truth?
Well, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
What did I have for breakfast this morning? I didn't.
Gets rather
personal. You don't remember?
No, I didn't have anything.
Okay, good. What did you have for lunch?
A Big Mac.
A Big Mac. Good.
Yum, yum, yum.
I went to McDonald's.
See, your mind can remember pretty much, right? It's always recording in it.
Yeah, but I don't remember what I had for lunch 5 years ago on January 4th.
Well, it's because you never thought about it long enough. That's 5 years ago. Remember, you got a lot of time between then and here. You see, if you knew how your mind was working, if you had it categorized correctly, you'd be able to remember it fairly well.
Hmm.
You see? There's a big difference between a whole bunch of piles laying all over the place of memories and a fairly neat, orderly filing system that you have on your mind.
Sir, if I can just break in here, do you remember what you had for lunch 5 years ago?
Yes, I guess I could remember that.
You wouldn't cheat and have the same thing every day, would you?
Have a nice day.
What about...
He hung up on us. Can you believe that?
Oh, that is...
Couldn't handle our questions.
That
I thought we were being rather tame with him.
And there's the truth.
That's the truth for you.
That ticks.
You heard it here on WUSB. Well, I must say you performed that rather well. You handled that guy just the right way, I think.
You know what? Well, to go off to a different subject, I hate them all.
You hate them all?
With all my heart and soul.
Well, you know... There's no contract or negotiations going on with the state legislature to close the mall, so can't help you there.
It's almost as big as a problem as Shoreham.
Yeah, it would be something though.
Okay, so
keep the mall out of here.
What did you have for breakfast 5 years ago?
If you're crazy enough to go to the mall at this time of year,
no, wait, excuse me,
you earn the right to hate it.
But did he say I hate the mall or I hate them all?
No, the mall, as in M-A-W-L.
Okay. But you could have said them all, and it sounds like the same thing. In fact, it's even spelled the same way.
Well, basically, both of them, well, I don't know, the mall.
You hate
the
all the
mall,
people.
M-A-L-L, is sort of like a cross-section of Long Island.
You hate all the people in the mall. You hate them all.
The mall, mall.
That'd be a great song.
Sounds
anyone
like a
out there wants to write
Dr. Seuss story to me.
Dr. Seuss story. Mm. I hate them all. I hate them all.
Oh, right. I like this. I like this a lot.
Yeah.
No one out there better steal this, because this is our idea here.
Ooh.
This is going to make us big. We're going to be stars. Wow.
Stick with us.
That's incredible. Well, thanks very much for all the inspiration, sir. And we got to get on to some more calls.
Hasta luego.
Okay. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Now, are they eliminating
This must be Bill Fox.
Yes.
Okay, you didn't
How
say
you?
Who you were.
Excuse me?
You assumed that we knew who you were, which we did.
Eric, are they actually closing the 179th Street station for the ENF, or is it that they're diverting the E?
The E will not stop there anymore.
But the F will, right?
The 179th Street station, instead of being E in the F terminal, will now be the F in the R terminal.
The R terminal?
The R will be extended from Continental Avenue to replace the E, which will now be diverting itself over to where the J train goes.
Oh.
The E will run up to about Sutphin Boulevard in Queens, and then cut over down some new track they just built and stop at the three new stations.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be very convenient, especially for those folks getting off the train at Jamaica, because, you know, the biggest problem has been how do you get to the E and the F train from Jamaica Terminal? You know, there hasn't been a good connection. You have to walk a couple of miles to get there.
Tell me about it. Yeah, from the Archer Avenue station, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, I've done that walk. It's inconvenient. But also, what are they doing with the ticket office on the Stony Brook station with this whole new renewal for Stony Brook?
You mean the reconstruction?
Yes.
From what I understand, they're building another platform on the other side, and in a couple of months, Stony Brook will be a completely elevated station.
Are they elevating the ticket office, or are they leaving the ticket office?
I think
right
the I'm pretty sure the building is remaining as it is, because that's an historical landmark. And that's something that remains untouched. Although I have to wonder, because they're building this platform, and it really extends nearly a mile down the road, and the station is on one end of it, so I can't imagine why anybody would walk all that distance to be on the platform. You know, so far away. And I think they're putting the overpass all the way down at the end, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it sounds kind of weird. I was wondering, because a couple of years ago, I was on a committee, we were talking about what we're going to do when they electrify, and although they're not doing that yet, and raise the platform. And one of the things we were talking about doing is building a parking garage there, way similar to the Huntington station.
Uh huh.
And I think Greenlawn also has a similar setup.
Yeah, but where would they put the parking garage?
Probably where the computer the university commuter parking lot is, right by North P.
Another parking garage on campus, huh? How many do we have now? Three, four?
Yeah, two at the hospital and one by admin.
You know, they're going to build a hotel on this campus someplace? I don't know where they're going to find the room, but
they're making those plans after Sunwood burned down.
Yeah.
Or Shorewood. I forget what one is.
It was Sunwood, the building Sunwood.
Yeah, Shorewood is Jack's house.
Yeah.
And so they started talking about that area, that wooded area right by the entrance of campus.
Uh-huh. Well, there's not much of a wooded area anymore. There's about four trees there, I think. I don't know how they're going to fit a hotel there.
Maybe they'll just have four rooms in the hotel.
Well, I don't know what kind of hotel this is going to be. It's going to be kind of weird having a hotel, dormitories, and a home for retired people, and a hospital all on the same campus. It's getting weirder every day.
It's getting crowded, much less the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation.
Yeah, I never could figure out those folks, you know?
Just like
this strange building on campus that's not related to the campus at all.
Yeah, it's just tucked away in there.
Yeah.
It's officially called like Building 95 or something.
There's a lot of mysteries here at Stony Brook for those of you that those of you that don't go to Stony Brook, and I know there's a large number of people listening that have never even been to this place. It's a strange place. There's lots of mysteries here, lots of untold stories. For instance, the story, which you might not even know, Bill, of Michael Jackson is ugly. Have you ever heard that?
Well, I've seen it around. It's still there's still graffiti painted.
There's graffiti all over campus. At one point, it was everywhere. You couldn't escape it. And in fact, it was on every train station into the city from Stony Brook. just these words, Michael Jackson is ugly, and no one could figure out who has this grudge against Michael Jackson. What it turns out to be is Michael Jackson was some kind of a teaching assistant here at Stony Brook that actually went so far as to copy someone else's term paper and get credit for it, and the person who he did that to was so outraged that he just, you know, he made it his life's work to discredit him wherever he could. And you would find this, you know, you'd go up to the roof of a building, and there on a little brick, it would say, Michael Jackson is ugly. He left no stones unturned.
You don't think that that's what prompted the singer to have plastic surgery, do you?
I don't know. I mean, what would you think? There are a lot of Michael Jacksons in the world, but I don't know.
There's also a radio personality named Michael Jackson.
Is there?
Yes, with ABC.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. You know, it's one of those things. And there's so many other little mysteries like that. At one point, somebody was painting these little pink signs saying think, nothing else but think. Those these little stencil things, they show up everywhere, and you just see think, you know. And then someone else came by with another stencil that said gay, and it said think gay. And then someone else came up with more things that made it into kind of a derogatory thing. Then someone else turned that around to make it say something derogatory about the person who said the derogatory thing, and it just kept going and going from there. And after a while, they just had to repaint all the buildings.
Then Eric, you've seen the yellow footprints.
The footprints, yes, there's footprints that walk all over the campus.
Campus and around the sundial, and that's the other thing. The thing that makes the sundial like work is like all of a sudden disappeared.
Yeah, I was one of the people that helped bring that sundial to the campus, or helped keep it on the campus. The Environmental Action Group, which unfortunately has disbanded, brought that sundial to this campus, you know, as a kind of a picturesque type of thing in the middle of the mall there. And it has been vandalized a couple of times, and I guess it just hasn't been fixed since the last time it was vandalized.
Yeah, remember the flags, though, the flags that they used to have around campus that always ripped by November?
Yeah, I do remember those. I knew those wouldn't work.
Yeah, it was, they look silly. It's like, what are you trying to prove?
Yeah, well, looking silly is no reason to get rid of something around here, but the fact that they always fell down, that wasn't...
Then there's still that sculpture in the middle of, right in front of the library.
You know, something else that I've always wondered about, and I saw it the day it arrived, there's this big, and I'm sure everybody on campus knows what I'm talking about, this big orange circle thing that's outside, I believe, the engineering building loading zone. It looks like a submarine something or other.
Oh, yes.
A bathysphere, or whatever they call those things. I was there the day that arrived at the Health Science Center loading zone, stayed there for a good couple of years, and then it got moved over to, I didn't see it, and then I found it one day in the back of engineering. I don't know what this thing is or what it's for. Obviously, it was delivered to this campus for some purpose, and nobody wants it. It's a huge, huge round device that apparently is for
quite looks like a tank.
Scuba diving or something. I don't know what it's for.
It looks like a tank of some kind.
Looks like a tank. Looks like a tank, but it hasn't ever been touched.
Yeah, it just sits there.
It hasn't even been touched by vandals. That's the amazing.
If it's everyone has respect for
it. Maybe vandals put it there.
That would be something. Same thing. Weighs a ton.
Have you ever known? Oh, go ahead, Bill. You're going to say something?
Oh no, I'm wondering if it's a piece of art like the stuff by the Fine Arts Center that you see by the Union.
You mean the Stoller Center for the Arts?
Yes, the Stoller Center for the Arts. The Stoller.
Stoller Center for the Arts.
Stoller Center for the Arts.
What a catchy name that is.
Yeah, rings bells. those things that quite look like garbage pails by the Stoller Center. Those green and yellow and red and pink things. Look like garbage pails with spears. Come in!
What? You don't mean the tubular bell type things outside the Fine Arts Center?
Yeah, so the back of the Fine Arts Center, by the Union.
I consider that the front, but yeah, it is the back, you're right.
By the loading dock. It's
just you have to go in somewhere to see the front, and it's not, you know, in open view.
It's like, what are those? I have no
I don't
idea.
Know. It's some kind of sculpture that cost a pretty penny, I can tell you that.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed in New York City... There are a tremendous number of public phone booths, I guess mostly outside, that have the words "Praise God" scratched onto them.
I'm going to tell you, every payphone in Manhattan has "Praise God" or "Thank God" or something along those lines scratched into the side, and I'd like to know who did it and how.
Well, what I wonder is...
Because I want to put my own message there.
Well, what I'm wondering is, has this divestiture taken on more implications than we're aware of?
That's a very interesting point.
So they're discontinuing the K line, right?
Oh, the K line it days are numbered.
So the only thing servicing Columbus Circle is like the A train, and that's it.
And not only that, they're going to be moving a lot of trains off the Broadway line, moving them onto the 6th Avenue line instead.
Which is
the D and the B, specifically.
Which is where they had been, and then they moved them over there, I think, while they were doing some work. But they used to be, Well, there used to be a lot of trains on the Broadway line, and then they moved some of them off, and then they moved some of them back, and then they moved them off
again. But look at this. They're not going to have any express service on the Broadway line at all.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why.
There's going to be no more Broadway Express?
No express.
Even during rush hour?
I saw an advanced copy of the map, and there is no express service on the Broadway line.
Oh, my gosh. That's extraordinary.
I can't imagine why. And only the N and the R train are running on the Broadway line. Nothing else.
Well, let's see.
And they're discontinuing that S shuttle train that goes down 6th Avenue.
Yeah, that was just because they were doing work.
But you know what's great? You know what's great about that train? Actually, most of the trains, if you turn the dials on the lettering, eventually you'll find the V train. Did I ever tell you about the V train?
Yeah, I think you made mention of it once. Yeah, that's
a 6th Avenue train that never came into existence.
Hmm.
And I think with the Z train coming into existence, it's fun to think about the old D train.
Well, this is interesting. Now, what about the Q train? That won't exist anymore.
No,
that'll just be a local train.
The Q train will, I believe, be a local, and the D will be an express.
Oh, very interesting.
Something like that. I'm not quite sure.
Because that means that there won't be any more Broadway Express, which is...
They're actually having seminars,
amazing.
Believe it or not, on what is taking place and how and when.
Mm.
If you call the transit authority, they'll tell you where to go, but they last something like 7 hours.
Wow.
And they'll answer all the questions you have.
Incredible.
But with this Jamaica extension, is it going to be set up like Woodside is set up? Except like reverse, because of course none of those trains over there are elevated.
I'm not quite sure how they're going to do that. From what I've seen out of the... they're all underground. They're all underground, and they look like very nice stations, so I imagine it'll just be a short walk downstairs.
Give it a couple of years, Eric.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, do you think they'll ever overhaul the system in New York so much that it'll operate quite like Washington?
I don't think New York could ever be like Washington, and I think it's a good thing.
What's even better than Washington is Boston.
Uh-huh.
Well, Boston, just to the appearance...
Yeah, but Bill, it doesn't have the same style. You know, New York is just so... Where else could you stand and just see all these trains with weird letters come by, you know, and then you see the money train and the garbage train, and it's just, you know, it's dirty, it's smelly, but it's just so... I don't know, there's just no words for it, but you know there's nothing else like it anywhere.
Atmosphere, Eric. It's all in the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, there's no place like the 34th Street Station.
Oh, God, no. No place at all.
No place at all.
Listen,
well,
Bill, we got to go
line?
To some more calls here, so
okay,
thanks
okay.
for calling.
Good night.
Good night.
Yes, Jim?
Which line of the 34th Street were you referring to?
Just the whole area. Well,
you mean
and unfortunately the K, the now almost deceased K line.
Oh, okay, you mean the Penn Station.
The A, the C, the E, and the soon-to-be-dead K train. There's long tunnels there. You can just walk for many blocks.
I know.
It's,
see what you mean.
You know, urine-stenched hallways, but
yes.
Still, what do you expect? It's a subway, you know?
Yeah, but of course it shouldn't have to be that way.
No, it shouldn't.
Urine
should not have a smell. I don't know why it has a smell.
No. What I mean is...
What's the point of it?
No, it should have a smell, because it's a way...
I don't want to smell it. I need
no, but it's a way... I agree with you. Nobody would want to smell it. I wouldn't either. But it's a way of warning people... It's nature's way of warning people that this is not a substance to be near an excessive amount, you know, or to beware that it might contain poison.
Uh-huh.
That's why things can smell bad very often. It's a way of...
But lots of things contain poison that don't smell at all.
That's true.
I mean, I don't think that's very fair of nature, do you?
Well,
it's not nature bash on the air.
No, we don't want to do that,
fair.
but I was going to say, what letters would be left then? We'll still have A, B...
We have A, we have the B, we have the C, the D, the E, the F, the G, the H, no I, we have a J, no K, an L, an M, which is a very mysterious train, the N, no O, no P, we have a Q, we have an R, we have some shuttle trains that take on the letter S,
yes.
No T, no U, we have that strange V that never came into existence, and the only other train is a Z.
And
then, of course, all the numbers, 1 through 7. Now, it used to be right. 8. The 8 used to be the 3rd Avenue L.
Yes, right. Up in the Bronx.
Up in the Bronx. And down 3rd Avenue. When
oh, I see. Oh, that also included down. I see. I didn't know that. That was 8. And there used to be a T and a double T. That was the old West End. That is really what the B is in partial form now. That was the... That used to be a Broadway train, Broadway Local and a Broadway Express, that in Brooklyn became the West End Line, which is what the B is now in Brooklyn.
I hate that sound.
It bespeaks such, termination of one's aspiration.
Yeah, well, let it be noted that we have camped on to an outside line because there aren't enough outside lines to make a call on this system here. So let's take an incoming call. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Sir, it does not sound like you're prepared to go on the radio there.
I'm prepared.
The correct position for a caller is to have the phone neatly pressed up against their face.
Well, I have it on intercom, you know.
Ah, well, now, other radio stations may not be so patient. So please be warned.
And besides, how would it be if we spoke that way? Yeah.
Tonight.
I mean, if we, you know, Eric, maybe we ought to show people what it's like if we speak that way.
He can't even hear you.
Said, tune in Saturday night for Brain Damage.
Yeah?
I haven't heard one Brain Damage thing all night.
Oh, yeah?
Depressed.
We have a neurologist on the line with us.
Sounds like you have a TV set on in the background.
Should I lower it?
No, make it louder.
Make it louder, yeah. I don't know what happened to him.
Still there?
Yeah, we're still here, yes.
But maybe you got frustrated with the Sony on in the background. Can I say Sony? That's a
can
brand
he say
name.
Sony?
No, he can't say Sony.
That's against the law.
You say Sony?
No, he can't. Wait, let me check with our standards and practices staff.
Really?
Excuse me, standards and practices.
Sony, S-O-N-Y.
Go, we can do that over the air.
Yeah, Mr. Carley, I'm from standards and practices. What's the question?
You can say Sony, just don't say Mitsubishi.
No, you shouldn't say either of those.
Now we're getting
you can't give brand names.
Essence of brain damage. Now we're getting some...
Good, you're happy.
But you didn't say him, did you?
Did you watch McNeil Air this week? Some lady died, this great lady. Now I'm getting off the subject again. You're talking about... I'm always doing this to you
who's
guys.
Who's the great lady that died?
Did you say Margaret Mee? M-E-E. Margaret Mee?
Margaret Mee, not Margaret Mead?
E. M-E-E.
Maybe I should be the one to ask the question, who the hell is Margaret Mee?
Yeah, don't say that. Oh, my God. She was she's 80 years old this year.
That doesn't answer my question. That's what was Margaret Mee, not who was Margaret Mee.
Through the Amazon.
Uh-huh.
Paint all the flowers before they became extinct. And they had her on for an interview Thanksgiving. She was she had an interview with Mr. Lear. And it was really interesting. You see, she goes up that Amazon and she wants to get a record. She wanted to have, like, a record for human beings, I guess, of the flowers up there, down there. And she was going to go this spring to do some more research, and she died in a car accident in England.
That's a shame.
Just about 3 days ago. That was pretty depressing. But they ran the interview again. But she was like 80 years old, and she goes up the Amazon by herself most of the time. I was really impressed with that. She's an artist. And she's really worried about the situation down there because she says she doesn't even recognize... parts of the Rio Negro anymore. It's so destroyed by semi-civilized people, like I keep saying every week.
Oh, as he's getting down on the human race again, yes.
Yeah, well, they're destroying the world.
Yes, but they're all we have.
I know.
They're the only human race around, you know, so we gotta sort of... It's like the New York subway system, you know? They can't tear it down and do it again, so they're rebuilding it.
Yeah, I know. I missed some of that. What do you think of the graffiti on the subways? What's your opinion on that?
You know, it's funny you should mention that. I was walking through Jamaica this week, and all of a sudden, I walked past the police station, and guess what? There on the side of the police station was graffiti on the police station. Now, one of the common arguments of people is that if you have a crime where there's a very high risk of being caught but a very minor penalty, that you won't see any instances of it, such as painting graffiti on the side of a police station. Well, there it was, graffiti on the side of a police station in Jamaica. I don't go down there yourself and look at it if you don't believe me. It's incredible.
But was it in good taste?
I couldn't understand what it said. It was graffiti, though. It definitely was that, and I don't think the cops put it there.
why do we have it? Why is it so rampant? But you don't see it, like, I don't see it in the movies when I see, like, Canada or Japan or the Soviet Union.
Well, you know, because graffiti, you know, you don't see it in the movies, first of all, because graffiti is something you only see in real life. Some people have difficulty telling the difference between movies and real life, so graffiti has been invented so that you can do a little quick check to see where you are. If you see graffiti, it's real life. If you don't see graffiti, it's the movies or TV. Or another country.
Yeah, but you
which,
so
according to Americans, is not real life
York.
Either. What?
It's not unique to New York.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. I'm going to put you on hold. Our dial tone is calling us back. And we're going to see if we can actually... This might actually work, folks.
AT&T, Aline, may I help you?
Yes, hello. I'd like to get overseas information in Moscow, please.
I'll have to give you an overseas operator for that. Hold on.
Thank you very much. This is what we have to go through at Stony Brook to make an overseas call.
All circuits are busy.
Oh, boy, after all that. It took a good 10 minutes to get an open line out of Stony Brook.
Was she about to say all circuits are busy or all circuits are Bolshevik? I couldn't tell.
No, this we can't even get out of New York now. I like the sound of that.
AT&T IOC, may I help you?
Hi, my customer's calling from 5166.
Can't see it.
Isn't it restricted? Four number.
Thank you, operator.
Thank you.
I don't know what the hell it was.
Can I help you?
Yes, hi. I need the number for the Kremlin in Moscow, please.
And how are you paying for the call, sir?
Well, I'm just calling information, which is free.
Well, sir, we don't do information unless we're doing a call.
Since when does that happen?
Well, we don't use the overseas circuits for information unless we're placing a call.
I've been making overseas information calls for almost all my life, and that's never come up before.
Well, it's basically standard.
Ah.
Okay, hold on. I have the number for the Kremlin here in my...
Oh, good. A card-carrying communist.
Okay, it's 20-22070.
That's 20-22070.
Right.
And the country code and city code, do you have those?
Not dial it direct, sir.
Yeah, but don't I have to tell the operator that?
No. All you have to do is tell them that, you know, you're making a call to Moscow.
Okay, 20-22070.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome, bye-bye.
Bye.
Might have been nice if it was 1-800-Kremlin.
That's a number I've always wanted to have. Well, I'm glad I have it now. There's no way to dial it, though, unfortunately. There's no way to dial that call.
Mm.
It's incredible.
It's frustrating.
There's no way to dial that call from here. And I was going to make it person-to-person, too. I was even going to call collect.
Who are you going to call?
Friend, just a friend.
Oh, a friend. Oh.
Don't ask too many questions.
I won't, I promise.
Well, we'll try it next week.
Can you imagine?
Got the number here. That's step one. We'll figure out the rest of it later. I'm sorry, Jim. What?
No, I was going to say, since I didn't want to stay on that topic, it might be fraught with
Ooh, the call is still on hold. I'm sorry.
No, he's taken to hammering the phone.
I forgot. I just saw your little light blinking faster than the others there. I forgot about you. It's just that our line opened up, you know, and we had to deal with that because the computer sort of gets impatient and hangs up and doesn't try again. What's that?
Moscow is more important than
hey,
Jim.
Gorby is coming this Tuesday to the United Nations, and Wednesday he's hanging out in the city with Reagan.
More important than Doomsday Jim?
Well, you know, I just wanted to see if, you know, maybe he wanted to get together one of those nights or something.
That's nice.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I mean, did I have to pay for that?
Yes, you did.
Oh, my.
Through the nose. Whatever that means.
I had something really important, some point I wanted to bring up.
And you have 5 seconds to bring it up. What is it? Four, three, two, one.
Next caller.
Thank you very much for calling, sir.
Bye.
Good night.
Yes, 632-6901, yes. That gap was for mind adjustment purposes. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes, this is the know-all, see-all, do-all of radio, Mr. Radio. How you doing, people?
Oh, we're okay. It's been it's been a long time since you've called.
Yes, and I will try to be on my best behavior.
Well, I'm just curious, why has it been so long?
Well, I usually I go out on a Saturday night with the babes, and Tonight is a slow night.
What do? You take some people from a pediatric ward?
No, but I received a few phone calls. My personal secretary told me that I'm calling from my office, that you two have been bashing me and my publications on the air. I don't appreciate...
Did we bash him?
No.
We haven't even said your name. Well, we said Mr. Radio has a one-page thing out. We even talked about it for a little while. We didn't...
I don't...
We just said there's a little too much... little too much commercial radio in here, and I just kind of tossed it aside casually. I didn't crumple it. I mean, I ripped the whole New York Times up before.
I would certainly say you bashed the New York Times, yeah.
So I would think you got off kind of lucky there.
Okay, but I don't like, bad things being... done to my publication. Even
hey, you want listen. I'll shut this guy up. You want us to give your address out for Mr. Radio's report?
Yeah. Could you?
Okay. Will that make you happy?
Yeah,
Mr. Radio's report. This is everything you need to know about commercial radio.
No. About radio.
There's not a single non-commercial radio station in here, Mr. Radio.
This is just a press release prior to the actual newsletter coming out about January 1,
which will have a lot of stuff about non-commercial radio, huh?
I mean, wait, let me just make a little point here. One thing I can't dig about you groovy people in, non-commercial radio is you have something against commercial radio, like it's the worst thing.
No,
Mr. Wiener, Wiener, let me just put my 2 cents in here, okay, please?
Okay, sure, go ahead, sorry.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I've noticed from Mike Girardo, your predecessor, Arnie Pritchard, the whole... WUSB staff, including Norm Prussian, has a thing against commercial radio for some god reason. I don't know why. What is wrong with commercial radio? Where else can you hear Bob Klein?
I think that's awfully unfair of you to call up at 5 minutes to 12 o'clock and ask me a question like, what's wrong with commercial radio? The show is 2 hours long. We have 5 minutes left. Maybe next week we can discuss this a little bit more, but we just don't have time.
Just because you can't get a job in commercial radio, you have a thing against it.
Now that's not true at all.
I don't have anything against commercial radio, per se.
Mr. Wiener. What? You're another one. Another of these, these college graduates, who plucked down 16 grand to go to college, and they can't find a job in radio.
Well, excuse me, I do work in commercial radio.
What do you do?
There you go. And
I'm an audio technician.
I don't know if I say this, but I have been offered jobs on commercial stations. I respect my mind a little too much to let it... factory work is similar to that kind of thing.
Oh,
and they don't pay any better either, you know that?
That's true.
Oh, yeah, you'll admit to that.
I mean, there's no unions around here. That's why.
There's unions in the city.
I'm a member of a union.
And my last point before I depart the airwaves, one of my close personal friends, a man by the name of Stillskin from Center Reach, has been also getting bad treatment from you two cohorts. I don't like the way you're treating my friends.
Well, we hung up on him before because he used a nasty word.
Uh-huh. But he's a good guy. Everybody call in, talk about Mr. Radio because I'm taking over the show. Mr. Radio.
Oh, it's so good to hear from you again.
Wait, let me just give out my address. If anybody would like to send me any fan mail.
Oh, we forgot to do that, didn't we?
Okay, get a crayon and a piece of paper, people. This is Mr. Radio.
Get a brick, too, if you want.
All right, let me just give it to you. Address your correspondence to Mr. Radio, Post Office Box 1089 in Selden, New York. What's the zip code? 11784. I'm Mr. Radio. I'm out of here. Catch me on the feeder program on
Ha! The trick is cutting him off just when he's saying something. I love it. Well, we just have time for about one more call. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Fuck you.
That wasn't the one. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, you got rid of Dwayne.
Yes, we did. We're going to get rid of you, too, if you're not careful. So.
Okay, no, I won't say any nasty words.
What's up?
Did you get the various 372 messages I left you before you came in?
372 messages?
He only got 371. I threw out the 372nd.
Yeah, you're throwing out my messages.
Well, the 372nd one I threw out.
Well, are these important messages that
no.
you're talking about here?
No, not the 372nd. All the others were.
Actually, on a scale of 1 to 4, it's around a... -3.
Well then, shall we waste our listeners' time with it?
Yeah, why not?
Tell me what the message is.
Do you have a copy of today's Newsday around by chance?
I didn't rip that up, so yeah, I guess I do.
Okay, can you get it on hand?
It's in my hand right now.
Send to
Wordsworth says Long Island's brief.
Can you give me a page number?
I think it's close to five, I think. I'm not sure exactly sure. There's something about Lisa Steinberg on the other side of it.
Steinberg said he hit girl. I hope that's not it.
No, I'm Long Island's brief.
There are no Long Island briefs there.
No, it's on the top left-hand corner of the page. It might be on the next page.
No Long Island briefs? You mean nobody in Long Island wears underwear anymore?
No, wait a minute. We're talking... For God's sake, it's on page 13, not page 5.
Well, it's 5 pages off. Close enough for government work, and we know how...
Computer... Okay, let me hear this. Computer access case. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I wouldn't mention the person's name.
No, we don't mention names. A Syosset teenager was arrested yesterday and charged with computer trespass for gaining illegal access to the lines of a telephone service, Nassau County Police said. Police and U.S. Secret Service agents said they arrested after school at his home at Syosset on the charge, a Class E felony. Detective of the Nassau Forgery Squad said that between November 22nd and Wednesday, used home computer equipment in the late evening to obtain illegal access to open lines of U.S. Sprint. Yesterday, and... who shot the dog? An U.S. Secret Service agent, so-and-so, armed with a search warrant, went to what's-his-name's home and took from his bedroom a computer, color TV, telephone... Why do they always take the telephone? What is the telephone going to tell you?
Hiding Hitler's brain in it or something.
I don't know. They take rotary dial telephones. Like, what's that going to do for them?
I know.
Floppy disks. They spelled disks wrong. They always do that in Newsday. And other electronic equipment. In case those of you don't know, disks should be spelled as if you were going to spell diskettes. In other words, with a K, not with a C.
Why do they always take the TV?
I don't know. I don't know what they think. Well, the TV can be used as a monitor.
What kind of difference does it mean? Is it between a color TV and a black and white TV anyway?
Not much. Who knows what you can hide in there? Campbell... sorry. You didn't hear that. So-and-so said so-and-so gained illegal access to the Sprint lines 3,348 times by inputting unauthorized codes. 35 open lines were obtained, this person said, enabling that person to make telephone calls without charge. U.S. Sprint traced the access to the culprit and notified authorities, police said. Well, now, basically what you have there is you have somebody calling a dial tone over and over again and attempting to get a valid authorization code. What they don't say here is whether or not the person used the code to make a call. Did he just scan it out and find the codes?
See, I've directory assisted, so I have the person's number. I won't give it to you on the air.
Oh, I'm very happy you won't.
And I called the telephone operator, you know, the Miss TSPS.
Uh-huh.
And I asked her to verify busy on the line.
Uh-huh.
And she said that it is off the hook. Now, it's been off the hook now for about, just now it just turned midnight according to my clock. That means for approximately 8 hours now it has been off
the
hook.
Well, I don't blame the person for taking their phone off the hook. I can tell you that when things like this happen, phones ring very often.
Oh, yes, I know that.
Very often. So, I mean, that's certainly not a news item there. But, yeah, this kind of thing is pretty common. I'm just not sure where they're going to take it, what they're going to charge this person with, what he was doing, actually.
Obviously, it's a Class E felony.
A Class E felony, whatever that means.
Yes, whatever it is. Class E for me.
You mean it's a fancy felony or a Class
make
E
up
felony?
You want E to stand for.
It is a classy felony, now that you think of it.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Is it?
And it's not a very nice felony either.
No, it's not nice, but it is classy. Listen, caller, we have to go because we're over our time period here. But thanks for calling us, and we should have more information about this matter next week.
Can you take me off the air for 5 seconds? I just have to...
Sure, I can even hang up on you. You want me to do that?
No, just for 5 seconds so I can say something without all your millions of listeners.
I'll put you on hold, and we'll go to you after the program ends. And the program is ending. We're moving out of here slowly but surely. Jim Wiener, thanks very much for coming by.
Thank you very much for having me.
And hopefully we'll see you again in, 3 weeks?
I hope so, yes.
By then it'll be, what?
Christmas Eve. 3 weeks.
Are you serious? We're doing
yes.
a show on Christmas Eve?
Yes.
Are you going to be here?
I plan to.
You want to get drunk on the air or something?
Oh, I don't know if we have to get drunk on the air.
Well, what do you do on Christmas Eve?
Well...
Smash something at midnight? I don't know.
No, I don't know. Well, I think it's I would think a more subdued approach would be
singing a song, or
I mean, you know, either if not, well, either directly religious or just in keeping with the general spirit of the season of
try to call the Pope or something.
Yes, yeah, we could do that.
Extend our holiday greetings to him.
Yes, we could do that.
Oh, thanks for reminding me that that's the day that it is. I'll plan something special.
Sure.
Anyway, the brothers are going to be in here, and, we don't have any music to go to, so we'll just have to talk until one of the brothers runs in.
No problem.
With the record, and then we'll cue the record up on the air, but we'll do it in a way so that you don't know that we're cueing up a record on the air. We're good at that. And then we'll just smoothly slip into the brothers program.
Yes, it's a good idea.
Which is called lobotomy, by the way, because it follows brain damage.
Right. This is an interesting situation because it's the opposite of a very funny situation that I encountered working at one of these commercial stations that I was alluding to before.
Uh-huh.
In this case, what we're doing now is waiting to fill this gap before the next program begins, but we tried something once at this station at which I work, where one announcer's program, which was due to end at 8 o'clock, this particular announcer wanted to extend his program a little bit, which is not usually done in commercial radio. And the next announcer was waiting to go on, and he agreed to it. And what we did was to have a little fun where the first announcer finished his program, went about 15 minutes over to about 8:15, and when he signed off and said, you know, basically that's the end of my program now, coming up is this next announcer's program, instead of just saying, now here is this next program, and instead of us going into the beginning of a record at the beginning of that second program, we had the first announcer say, we now join this other announcer's program already in progress, as if the program had started at exactly 8 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And what we did was deliberately, as soon as the first announcer said, we now join this program already in progress, we deliberately
cut to a record.
Switched on a record, that's right, that was in the middle of playing, and we switched on the second announcer's mic, and he deliberately started speaking before we switched his mic on, so we'd be picking him up in the middle of a sentence. And we amused ourselves. We had a great time.
Made everybody think the program was coming off a network or something.
Exactly, exactly. Where you had to start it at a certain time, and you'd have to join it if you ran over with the first program. It's what happens with television sometimes. But of course, it was not necessary for still. We just did it for the fun of it. And I might add that it's an example of how of a commercial station that tried something a little bit off the beaten track.
That's
not
good.
Not that long ago. And
what's that doing here?
It's interesting.
That's way off.
Well, that's
off time here.
Oh, we're about 12 hours.
That's 12 hours late.
Well, but it's always nice to hear Lister, anyway.
Yo, brothers, where are you?
But
where are they?
I know that Bill has been around. Should I go look for him?
There he is. No, he's here.
Oh, that's
here.
Good. Howdy.
You're on the air, man.
Should
I got a record for us to put on here?
Should I tell you this other story about, in the meantime, about how this...
I need a record. Oh, yeah.
What did you knock over there?
Why? Just a bank.
Okay, here we go. Well, you want to play this side
Burn
here?
Down the Malls.
Boy, this is amazing.
Oh, that ties right in with the that other call of it.
Dedicated to your listener.
No, that's great.
Have only one.
Burn Down the Malls. Okay, that's track number 4. You go ahead and speak, Jim, while I cue this I'll just cue it up in the background.
Once, not exactly the same situation, but once at the same radio station which I was working, I had to run and get an announcer quickly to read an announcement. He was in the middle of doing something. It really wasn't his fault, but it was just some confusion, and I had to run to get him to come into the studio, and I didn't realize that he had already started to run towards the studio, and as I rounded a bend and at first didn't see him, he was rounding the bend, and our knees both collided, and he was able to limp back into the studio, and I limped back in great pain, and it was funny because we were in great pain but laughing at the same time.
Do you realize what we're doing here? We're nostalgically looking back at these moments in time.
Yes.
Boy, so nostalgic, you know.
It is.
Radio tales. Anyway, Brother Bill has a song, and we're going to put it on now. And Jim, like to say goodnight.
Good night.
And we'll see you again.
Right on.
And see me again next week.
Burn down the mall. I said burn down the mall. Oh, I remember the shopping center openings, man. You just had those big lights shining up. And now, where do the old folks go? Where do the young kids go? What's America? What's America turning into? Mondo condo shopping mall. Hell, I said, burn down the mall. Another thing is kind of getting on my nerves. Another thing is getting on my nerves is this national 21 drinking age. Oh, what do you think about that? A bunch of malarkey! Whatever malarkey is, man, it's a whole bunch of it. You know, if Reagan finally gets the war he's looking for, you think he's going to be drafting 21-year-olds? No, man, they're going to be drafting 18 and 19-year-olds. But you can't buy beer. Can't buy beer. You can get married and screw yourself up real good. Can't buy beer.